We have just a real honor and privilege to have Kelly Kaler with us. Kelly's my aunt, and you are going to just really enjoy hearing from her. And Kelly leads a church in Japan called Life Church. And Life Church is in Osaka, Japan. Osaka is not even the largest city in Japan. It's only 16 million. Tokyo is about 33 million, okay? So it's a very large church, about the size of LA, right? So just to give you kind of an idea, the broad area. And that is where God has planted Kelly and her family, and they lead a great church. God is doing some wonderful things in Japan. And so we've asked Kelly to come and just share a little bit about that. What is God doing in Japan? And to share her story with you all. And so I am really excited for you to get a chance to hear from her exactly what's going on in Japan. What is the Lord doing? And then, have you ever wondered if what you were doing was making a difference? Like, does that thought ever occur to anybody else? Like, is what I'm doing actually making a difference, right? Especially sometimes the things that you really feel like God asked you to do this thing. Well, I have a scripture for you here. This is 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." One of the most enthusiastic workers for the Lord that I have ever known, was my Uncle Joel. And my Uncle Joel passed away this last October, just real suddenly. And so I'm sure you'll get to hear a little bit of that story as well in Kelly's journey. But you may not know this, but Faith Community Church actually has some fruit from Joel Kaler. And I want to share this as an encouragement to you all that you sometimes don't even know how the Lord is using what you're doing as you just are loving him and serving him and walking with him and just enjoying the Lord. Joel was one of the people, one of the best examples that I have ever seen of somebody who just loved life and loved the Lord. And that's really attractive. Right? Like, do you know somebody that kind of lives that way? They are 100% in love with the Lord, and yet they're not one of these sourpuss lemon Christians of, "Oh, brother, we're just hanging on there till Jesus comes back. You can do this. Come on, one more week. We can make it to next Sunday." Right? Like, I really don't think that honors the Lord. I really don't. I really think the Lord wants us to love the world that he's created, love the life that he's given us, and serve him enthusiastically. And as you do this, the word of God promises that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. His life, his legacy, has impacted me significantly. Probably I would not be doing what I'm doing today in ministry without Joel's example, honestly. It was like, "Hey, you can do ministry and be cool at the same time. Okay, hey, I'll sign up for that." No, he was somebody who made a deep impact on my life, and I'm not the only one. Our youth pastor, Kip Slusher, went and did an internship in Japan. Joel significantly touched and impacted him. And our church, our youth ministry, is enjoying some of that fruit. You just do not know the reach, the impact that your life can have. And so as you listen today and hear the story of one person's journey with the Lord and how Kelly has followed the Lord and how the Lord is using her, just allow the Holy Spirit to remind you that, you know what, this is not just for missionaries. Amen? This is for teachers. This is for plumbers. This is for business people. This is for every single one of us. that we are called to do it unto the Lord. And as we do that, the Lord will bring fruit out that you would never have guessed could have come about. Amen. So would you all join with me and welcome Kelly Kaler. It is so great to have her here today.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, David, for that very heartfelt introduction. I had to make sure to keep my eyes wide open, so I went, closed them, and cry. So, but I'm just so happy to be with you all here today. It's been a long time since I've been here. David and Katie's wedding was the last time I was here. My kids have changed dramatically, and we didn't even have the third one. So it's been a long time, but I'm so blessed to be here. And I just want to say thank you. You know, we've been longtime friends. The Kaler family has been longtime friends with the Slusher family. And of course, through David and Katie, of course. And I just appreciate their heart for Japan. And they have such a vision to see the Japanese come to know Jesus. And so I'm actually impacted by them more than them being impacted by me at all. I am just so appreciative of you guys and your heart for Japan. And I'm very excited that you're going to come and visit us soon. So. Anyway, I just want to talk today just about the faithfulness of God. Simple subject, but you know, like we could spend forever talking about the faithfulness of God, and I will not do that to you. But so I just want to take a little bit of time. And as you listen to my story and just what's going on in Japan, I just encourage you just to think back over your life and how God has touched you and God's faithfulness and God's grace and his mercy. We all have amazing stories of what God has done in our lives. Amen? Yeah. So, you know what? I think I should pray. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would use my words, Jesus, that everything that is said today, Lord, would glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your unfailing love covers the whole earth. It covers the nation of Japan. It covers Quincy, Washington, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've got two pictures up here of crowded people in the train, and that happens all the time. But the thing to notice is that everybody is looking at their phone, or they have their earphones on, or they're in the previous slide, they're just sitting there, just looking. And so that is so totally typical of Japanese culture. They're all in their little bubbles, even though they're really close to each other, like sitting really close or standing really close. It's like the other people do not even exist. They have to keep their, they don't want to, how do I say it? Like they won't talk to people, they won't make eye contact, nothing. Like the train is deathly silent. And so that's just an example of the Japanese culture in that they have no friends. It's all very friendless. There's no relationships going on. They're just all, you know, just sitting there focused on their phones. I don't know what they did before we had phones, but yes.
So I know in this country, we are more connected than we've ever been, but we're also more lonely than we've ever been. And there's rates of suicide or depression are going up.
Yes.
Even though we're connected.
Yep.
Is that the same there?
Yep. Actually, Japan has a second highest suicide rate in developed countries.
Seriously?
Yeah, and so it's the number one cause of death from people between ages 15 to 39 is suicide. And so people are just so depressed, and the reason being, because they have no relationships with people. They have nobody to talk to. Of course, they do not know Jesus, who is the best person to talk to. But they go to work on the train, usually, work, you know, in their little cubicle or wherever they are, and then just come back home, and that's it. They'll come back home at the regular salary. People who just work a regular job will come back home at 10 or 11 at night. And so there's really no time to do anything else. So that is the main, that is what we are trying to work on, is to develop relationships with people. If we can get them to open their hearts, and if we can even just talk to them, you know, they're totally surprised if you walk up to them and talk to them, like, why are you talking to me, you know, and they just get like, but if you keep doing it, you know, they eventually open up, and they are the most friendly people, right? You know this, yeah, they are the most friendly people, but they walk around in these bubbles, in these little capsules of just, you know, it's part of the culture. So, anyway, did you do all four? Okay, you can leave now.
Thank you.
You guys can feel free to shout out questions like she did. That's great. So I think somebody mentioned it, David mentioned it, but the Japan population is, I have 126 million. So, but they live on the land the size of Montana. So yeah, it's kind of squishy, as my daughter said. So, and then I have Osaka population as being 19 million, close enough. But here's the statistic that gets me is that the Christian population is only 0.2%. So, which means that it is one of the largest unreached people groups in the world. Even though they have everything materially, I would say it's a very rich, prosperous nation. The kids lack for nothing. They have everything they could possibly want and more. But it's definitely a relationally starving country. And there's totally a sense of hopelessness, which you can see through the suicide rate. And people just, there are more pets than kids. People don't want to have kids because it's going to take too much money to raise them, and they don't want to be tied down. Do you guys have cat cafes here?
Not in Quincy.
No, not in Quincy. Maybe in Portland, right? I'm thinking in Portland there. So they have just so many cat cafes where people go, and there's tons of cats there, and they sit. The people sit, and they're still not talking to people, but they're stroking the cats, and they're just, that's their way to, I don't know, they're trying to bond with the cats or whatever. They're just, they have nobody to talk to, so they come to the cat cafes and talk to the cats. So how do I say it? Yeah, it's just a totally hopeless culture, and people have no hope whatsoever. And so that's why we're there. We're there to give them hope. We're there to give them a purpose. And so that was the first thing that I noticed when I came to Japan. I came on a missions trip back in 90, I'm not really sure, but I think it was 94, 95. And David was very young back then. And we had so much fun. I think I stayed in their house 1 year. And I had no desire to go to Japan, like none whatsoever. I wanted to go to England on the college missions trip. I was like, England is so cool. I want to go. I want to see all the old places. You know, I just thought that was the coolest place. And God used my music teacher to say, no, I think you should go to Japan. God is saying, telling me that you should go. And I'm like, okay. You know? And I was not that excited to go at all. And so, but when I went, I totally fell in love with Japan. And this was even before my husband and I were married. I totally fell in love with Japan, the people, the culture, just everything about it. And that was a big change because my heart was not really open to Japan at all. And so when I came back to PBC, I was like, well, that's the end of it. You know, I just went on a trip. But I told God, well, if you want me to return, you know, then, you know, you're going to have to open the way for me to come back. And so, let's see. So I'm really bad at this. My husband was so much better at explaining all of this, the story thing. But, so he was on the same team, and we were not interested in each other at all, but there were people working behind the scenes, you know? And so family members and friends, and they were all trying to get us together. And so we started writing letters, and for you young people, I know, letters, you know. We wrote it on paper with a pen or a pencil, stuck it in the post office, in the post box, and then it took a week to get to Japan, and then he would have to write a response, right? And then another week. So it's, you know, it's a 2-week turnaround. None of this texting or anything like that. And so, so that's how we kind of started our relationship. And then we were married 2 years, I think, or like a year, well, it's 2 years, from when that first missions trip happened. So, and my husband Joel totally knew that God was calling him back to Japan. The whole Kaler family's, you know, been in Japan for over 60 years. And he knew that he wanted to go back, but it was always a matter of timing and just what does God want us to do. But for the next 10 years, we just stayed in Portland and just served the church and just waited for the door to open. And so eventually when it did open, I am sitting on the airplane with two children, not three, just two. And I was just overcome with fear, like absolute fear. Up until that point, I was fine, but when we're on the airplane and we're kind of getting close to Japan and we're, you know, I can kind of see Japan down there, all the rice fields and everything, I'm like freaking out. Like literally, it was from the enemy, totally just a fear just entered my heart. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on his goodness. Open my Bible to, this is my favorite verse because God just led me right to it. I wasn't looking for anything specific, but I opened it to Psalms 33:4, which I should have a little thingy in here. It says, for the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. That was it. But that was all I needed, you know, that the word of the Lord, all the words that had been spoken up to that point about us coming to Japan and we are in God's will and it's a perfect timing and all of those just came right into here. It holds true, it doesn't change, and we can trust everything that he does. And that's true in all of our lives, amen? He is just so gracious and so faithful. So we planted the church 8 years ago. I have to read what is 8 years ago. And it kind of, you know, it grew up to about 120, which is a nice size for a church in Japan. If you've ever been to just a regular, a church, well, it'd be like a quarter of the size. But if you go to that church, there's usually a regular church is about 15 people. And so, or so I hear. I've actually never been to a really, really small church like that. A lot of churches that we associate with are, you know, in the hundreds or pushing 1,000. So there are those kind of churches, just to give you some faith for that, that there are churches like that. But most of the churches are really small. And so we saw it grow to 120, and then, of course, my husband passed away with just an undiagnosed, very rare sickness, and in a moment, he was gone. And, you know, I have to say, though, that even in that time or in that moment when he passed away, God was totally preparing everything according to, I wouldn't say his plan, but just he arranged everything to make it the easiest possible, I guess you could say. I'm not really sure if that's the right way to say it. But, you know, he passed away in America. And so for me, that was way easier. If he would have passed away in Japan, I would have had to do so many things that I have no idea what to do. There's all these Buddhist traditions that you have to steer clear of, and there's certain things that you have to do, and I would have been lost. If he would have passed away in Japan, we wouldn't have gotten the life insurance. So he passed away in America. You know, we come to find this later that it doesn't work in Japan. So, so all of these things, God was just totally, you know, all of Joel's family was in America at that time, basically. And so, except for us. And so they were all there just to rally around. And that is God's faithfulness, you know. Even in that just unbelievably difficult time, he was just so faithful and was totally, when we look back, we're like, oh, that God prepared this, to do that, to move in this area. And so it's just been, you know, I was left with the question, is God good? You know, does he care for me? I think when we all go through those kind of situations where we lose somebody or maybe we have a sickness or, you know, anything like that, we're always faced with those questions. And I don't have answers for all of my questions, but I do know that God is good. And I do know that he cares for me. He cares for my family very much. He cares for each one of the kids. He is totally leading and directing us. He cares for the church. He is going to continue on in the church. You know, I read Psalms 27:13. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so there's great despair and sadness if we do not believe in the goodness of our God. Amen? And so I had a friend who just recently came up to me, like, she hadn't seen me in a long time. And she was like, why are you so happy? Like, almost like you're not supposed to be happy, kind of type thing. Like, why? And so I was like, I don't know. And then, you know, I was like, no, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And that's where we find it. Not from our circumstances, not what's come up against us, not where we find ourselves, but in the presence of the Lord is where the joy is. So I answered her with this scripture, which is not very spiritual of me. So, can I say? So anyway, just these past, it's been nine months. I'm not sure. 9 months, almost 10 months since my husband passed. And we have just seen God's goodness over and over again in the church. It has been so, so amazing. Before that time, you know, we gathered about 120 people, and people were attending on Sundays, which is actually a big deal because Sunday is their only day off. So most people work on Saturdays as well. So it's sometimes very difficult to get the husbands to come to church because they're like, it's my only day off, you know. But we've just seen tons of young families just come and be planted. And so people were attending, but it was more of, well, let's just let Joel be our spiritual father and lead us, and we'll just follow along behind, you know. Like, we'll let him search after God for us, or we'll let him, you know. And so that's kind of where we were at that time. And so that has completely changed. These past few months, it has just been amazing presence of God in our church services. And we've grown too. You know, I haven't seen we've grown a lot, but I think the average attendance now is 150 or so. And so people have just, I just can't explain it, but they have actually wanted to seek after God for themselves. Wow. They have wanted to read the Bible. They want to be in God's presence. They aren't just like, okay, we've got to go home now. We've got to go home. No, they've actually wanted to stay and talk with people, which is a big deal. Like I talked about in Japan, where they're just out the door in a flash, you know. We try and have food, you know, to kind of draw them in, you know, and they still bypass the food and out the door. I think they're bored of the Costco muffins. We have Costco. So anyway, it's... people are wanting to stay. They're wanting to connect with people. They're wanting to connect with God. And so I think I have slides, but I don't know where they are. Kip, you're just going to have to follow me wherever I go there. So I just want to share a little bit of, like, things that are just happening and just kind of encourage you guys, and I'm encouraged by it. So we started doing an encounter time, which we do on the first Sunday after service. So we all eat together. And then, so kind of like your potluck, but we don't share. Everybody has their little bentos. They just buy at the convenience store. They buy their little bentos, and we all sit together and eat. So we do that. And then after that, we do like a little encounter time where basically we just have a piano and maybe a guitar, but not like a full band. And we just soak in the presence of God. And at first, Japanese people who are very much... it's not followers, but they've just been instructed from when they're very young to just make sure that everything, you know, if there's somebody in front of you in the line, you have to stand right behind them. Everything, you know, Americans are just like all over the place. You know, and they'll just like butt in line and, you know, go all over the... No, Japanese are very straight. You know, everything has to be done together in order, you know. And so there, that also goes into the church as well. So they're all sitting there, the first encounter. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know? And so the first encounter, everybody just looked at their Bibles. I mean, they're reading the scripture, so that's great, but they're just looking, look, you know, and then like glance up a little bit, see what everybody else is doing, and then go back to it. But what happened as we went along is they just let God touch their hearts, and they just became more open to the presence of God and more open to his leading. We had people, they would just get up and share scriptures, and we just kind of had an open mic. And just if they had a song to share, a song of the Lord, a word, something from the Bible, they could just get up and share it. And the last encounter we had was amazing. Like normally we try to do it 1.5, 2 hours at the most. Nah. But this one, the last one was like 3 hours or 3.5. Like people did not want to leave. The presence of God was just so strong. And so that is just God just healing hearts, you know, because they have questions too. You know, why did this happen? All that kind of stuff. So God's just coming in, just healing all the wounds in their hearts, just filling them with their love. The last one was just so amazing. So gradually, little by little, it's just building. And we've seen miracles of healings that there is this one older lady in our church. We don't have that many older people. It's mostly all young families with kids. But there was an older lady who... just decided that what it says in the Bible is for her. That's all. She just told me. I've just decided that what, you know, when it says these promises and it says that we can be healed, I'm claiming those scriptures. I'm believing those. And so she and another lady just kind of started, a couple of ladies started a prayer team, and they just started to pray before the service. And they've just, you know, if people came up for prayer after the service, they would pray for them, and she would see them get healed. They would be, you know, anything on their body. Or we had her share, and she's, how old is Ogawa-san? Maybe, I can't tell. Japanese look so young. maybe 70. But anyway, she got up and shared one Sunday. We gave the service to her and another lady. And during the service, she's just speaking, and people just are getting healed, like just as they're sitting. And so, and now she's taking it a step further. And so now she's going around her neighborhood and playing for people. So that's what we're talking about, not just keeping it in the church, but going outside the church, right? And so she is just, she's amazing. She's a fireball, man. She's ready to go. And she has a scripture for every season, and she has a scripture for every sickness. And she is just going out there praying for people. And sometimes she'll even ring her neighbor's doorbell, which is so un-Japanese, because you would never do that. And you just went unannounced, just ring their doorbell, you know. She's ringing the doorbell, and she's, you know, can I pray for you kind of type thing. And so, yeah, so that team of just prayer team, miracles, healing, whatever kind of team you want it, is just so, they're on fire. They're just going, they're just gathering people into their team. Come on, let's go to the park. I think there's a picture. Kip, do you have that picture of the park? Yeah, there we go. That's right across from our church, which is amazing that we have a park right across from our church. And they just go out there and ask to pray for people. And because the Japanese are so kind of standoffish, a lot of times they'll say no, but sometimes they will say yes. And so they just pray for them. Sometimes they get healed, sometimes they don't. But the point is that they're stepping out in faith. Yeah, and God is meeting them. So it's just been awesome. And then let's see. We've seen a lot of baptisms and, salvations and baptisms. Let's put it in the proper order. And the ones that we've baptized recently have been from a gospel music class. So did you guys know that Japanese love gospel music? And so what has happened is the lady that's holding the mic there, she does a gospel class where she teaches gospel music to mostly to moms, but then she also works at a gospel music school. And so the leaders of that school, they're like, we met them a long time ago, but just recently they're like, you know, we've just been like listening to the words, and the words are speaking to us. And they're singing in English, you know, so they really don't actually understand the words because they're singing the gospel in English, but it's getting into their spirit. And so, and we explain it to them in Japanese what these words are actually saying, so they know the meaning. But she's like, yeah, we just, you know, we've been singing these songs for, you know, 7 years or whatever, and yeah, I think we believe them. That was it. There's nobody leading them in like you know, sinner's prayer or anything like that. I mean, we did, you know, confirm that they actually believed, you know, the right thing, but they were just like, both of them, the husband and wife, yeah, I think, you know, we really believe that Jesus died for our sins, you know, because they're singing about it. And so, and we've had other people get saved too in the past, and it's been all through the gospel music classes. So, yeah, I think that's her right there. And then her husband is on another slide too. And so we are going to keep on doing the gospel music classes, let me tell you. Even though it is not our favorite genre of music, we don't particularly, you know, it's not my favorite, but, and it's not the lady with the mic who teaches it. It's like, it's really not my favorite. I don't like it. But she sees the point, and she sees that God can work through it. So we're going to continue to expand those classes too. So, and then we have a little preschool, which I think there's a slide for that, might have already circled through. One of my friends in the church, oh, he's so cute, had a vision and a dream to start a preschool. And we were like, okay, well, you can use the church for free. We have a whole classroom setting. Yeah, there they are. That was like the start of the school year. And so there's only like 7 kids. I think 2 were missing. Anyway, she just had a vision. She's like, I'm just going to start. And so it's an English preschool, so they teach English, and then they also teach Japanese. And so she's like, I want to show the love of Jesus to these kids. These kids, from this age right here, have absolutely no hope. Their parents are grooming them right away from this very young age. You have to get into the right preschool, to get into the right elementary school, right, to get into the right junior high, high school. I mean, it just goes on. And they have them go to, even at this age, at like 4 or 5, they have them go to these study groups from, you know, that are like two hour long study groups, you know, and they can do it, I don't know how many times a week they do it, but just at that young age. And so she was like, I just want to have a more relaxed atmosphere where kids can play, where they can learn about Jesus, learn about songs about Jesus. And so she started it. And so first year there was only like five kids or something. And then this next year, looks like there's seven. But then in the middle of the year, they doubled their size. So in September, I think they're going to have close to like almost 20 kids. And so that was, yeah. That is totally our goal, is that we want to educate them from when they're young, to know that God has a plan for them, he has a hope for them. They are not hopeless. They do not have to be like everybody else. That's a big thing in Japan, you know, you have to conform. Nope, that they are made special in God's eyes. So we're really excited about that. And please pray for us. We need an English teacher. So that's the one big thing that we're praying for September. So... And then we come to our Saturday Kids, which is where you guys have helped us. And so we have this outreach one Saturday a month. I think Kip will find some slides there. Basically, all the kids from the community, not all the kids, but about 90% of the kids that are in the Saturday Kids program are just from around the community. We actually have very few of our own church kids that come. And so here we have, oh, and Cassandra, okay, she is the black gospel music, like, phenomenon. And so she teaches the kids all these gospel songs, which is just fabulous. She does an amazing job. And so kids just, the parents love it because it's free babysitting, you know, so they can drop them off at 9:30, pick them up at 2-ish, and the parents just love it. And so we take the kids and we do, oh, there's Alyssa. We take the kids and we do songs with them and all about Jesus. And we do a Bible story. We actually have them learn a memory verse. We do crafts. What else do we do? Help me here. English. We do an English lesson because the parents all want their kids to learn English. So we do that. And, man, what else do we do? We cram a lot into 4.5 hours. But what we've found is that the parents are getting connected to the church. So we really try and focus on the parents. So at the end of the Saturday Kids, we've got drinks out and snacks and whatever, and we try and encourage the parents to stay, and we get to talk with them, and we get to, you know, hear their stories and hear their problems. And, you know, the moms are basically raising the kids by themselves because the dads work all day, you know, from very early in the morning, not very early, maybe 8 or 9, until 10 or 11 at night. And so the moms have the kids that whole time. So think about it here, everyone. it's like they're single parents, but they're not. And so the moms just need somebody to talk to. And so we kind of provide that atmosphere. Of course, it's for the kids, and we're loving on the kids, and we're serving the kids, but we also want to serve the parents and just reach out to them. And it's through the parents that will then, you know, bring the kids to Sunday. So we're starting to see people come, not as much as I would like, but we're praying and believing that as we keep doing it, the more people will come. And then also we don't just want to stay in our little area, you know, Osaka, 19 million. There's a lot of people to reach. So we want to take the Saturday Kids, the outreach, and actually do it in a whole bunch of different locations around the Osaka area. That is our goal, because we have a model now and we have, you know, kind of an idea of what we're supposed to do. And so we just want to bring it and go to areas, you know, if there's somebody in the church who's like, hey, I know of a place that we can do it, we'll be like, okay, let's go over there and start something. So that's kind of our goal for the future. And then our other future projects are, we want to start, what is it in English? Kodomo no shokudo, let's see. Oh, kids, I wrote it down in English, kids cafeteria. And so you're like, why do we need a kids cafeteria? And so, you know, these kids have tons to eat, let me tell you. There's no problem. But it's kind of a thing that sprung up in the past 2 years where community centers and whatever will actually offer either free dinner or something really, really cheap. And they'll just invite the moms in the community to come and just hang out with their kids and eat dinner and whatever. Because as I said, the moms are with the kids all day long. Like, there's no break. And so all the moms are like, yeah, right in between about the 4 to 6 o'clock is when it gets really crazy. You know, and the kids are in a really, really, really small apartment. It's not like here where we have, you know, so much space to run and do whatever we want. No, they're in a really small apartment. There's no place to run. There's no place to get outside. And so the moms are just struggling. And so if we provide a place where we can just have food or very inexpensive food or free or whatever, the moms and the kids will come. The moms don't have to cook. And everybody can hang out and we can develop more relationships, which is what we're trying to do. So all of that stuff, I see I'm like way out of time. So, because my phone keeps like dinging at me here. It's over. Anyway, so this is just kind of all the stuff that has been going on, and God is faithful. Yep, and so I just want to read one scripture. It's usually two scriptures in closing, in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Somebody gave this this chapter to me after Joel passed away, and I can't find it, but so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. And that's what we've been doing. We canceled all our big events this past year. We canceled everything, and we're like, we're just going to wait on the Lord. That's all we're going to do. And we're just going to really trust him and trust in his faithfulness and just believe that he is going to lead us. And so that's what we've done these past 9 months, and God has really showed up in an amazing, amazing way. And then the other scripture that has just meant so much to me is Psalms 91, which I'm sure a lot of you are very familiar with. I'm just going to read just a little bit. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And I like the other version where it says, his faithfulness is your shield and your buckler. And so, and as we look at Kip here with his sword, I think that's very fitting. And that we have a shield that we can use against the fiery darts of the enemy, right? Right, the shield of faith. And so, but I think more than that, sometimes I feel like my shield is not enough. My shield of faith and my, I got to do this, I got to believe, I got to have faith, I got to go in this scripture and I just got to believe this is going to happen. Sometimes, for me anyway, it's just not enough. But it says right here in Psalms 91 that his faithfulness is your shield. Right? So we don't have to rely completely on our faith. His faithfulness is our shield. And so, you know, here's our shield of faith, but his shield of faith is much bigger. And it completely surrounds us. And I think that's what that word means, shield and buckler. It's more of a completely surrounding. And so that's what I have found in these past 9 months, is that his shield of faithfulness has totally surrounded me. And his unfailing love is there every step of the way. So I just want to encourage you guys, he is here with you. If you are going through similar situations, trust in his faithfulness. Yeah, let his faithfulness be your shield. Thank you so much.
Stay here. So let's stand. I like, there is an anointing on Kelly. When you walk, when God takes you on a path where he's the only one who is able to sustain you, there's a residue that starts to abide in you. It's the mercy and the faithfulness of God. It's the presence and the peace of his Holy Spirit. And you know what? And I know Kelly would agree with this. That purpose that God gives us, that is not just for us. It's for the people that we touch, right? And Kelly, would you pray for us? If you're here today again, like I said, this is not an accident. If God can take a woman with a young family who's lost her husband in a foreign country and sustain her and lead her and guide her and help their family keep their compass heading to true north, true Jesus, he could do that for you. Amen, no matter where you're at. So would you pray for us, Kelly?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever situation is in this room now, we know that you are all that we need. We know that you are faithful to the very end. All your promises, as the song says, all your promises are yes and amen. We can count on everything. Every word that you have spoken over everyone here holds true. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would surround them, Lord, with your peace, with your grace, Lord. Lord, let your presence overwhelm them, Lord. Let them go through each day knowing, Lord, that you are with them, Lord, that you will never leave them or forsake them, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan. Oh, Jesus, I just ask, Lord, that this presence, Lord, that lives in each one of us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, that we would be able to go from this place and share your love with others, share this presence, Lord, that we would not keep it for ourselves, God, but that we would be able to be messengers of your gospel, Lord. It is the power of the gospel that changes people's hearts. And so, Lord, I just ask that whatever situation everyone is in here, Lord, that you would give us the strength, Lord, and the courage, Lord, to walk in your grace and your peace and your love, focused on your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.